Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, and also a broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with online traders, broker-assisted, speculators, hedgers, anything in the commodity and futures and options markets. If you're interested in working with me, feel free to give me a call at 312-706-7610 or shoot me an email. If you're a client and want to get involved in any of these ideas, definitely you have my number. You can email me too, and we can get something going. So if you like the newsletter or if you like the podcast, feel free to pass it along. We put it out for free so people get to know us and what we're thinking. If you want to check out the newsletter, it is you can text number 33777 with the message Turner, my last name, and you can check out the newsletter. And for clients, let me know if you want to be in my text list. I'll send you trades when we're doing them. Haven't done anything in a couple of weeks, but that is going to change. July was, July seemed to be kind of quiet, but I think that is going to change here. So let's get into why and what we're thinking going forward. One, the macro markets, stock market's been going up. The coronavirus fears have been coming down. Three positive stories on possible vaccines, a company out of the United States, research out of the United Kingdom, and also in China. Different types of vaccines. So, and that's just three to start. Wouldn't be surprised if we heard about more. Moral of the story, there's a lot of money and research being put into this stuff. There's a huge need for it. And we'll probably see continued progress, and the market's going to like that. We also saw the EU overnight come out with its coronavirus stimulus plan. So that will support the markets too. Earnings were good for IBM, Coca-Cola, Lockheed Martin. Those are some of the more cyclical names, so it hasn't been all just technology. So that seems like it's going to be a pretty good deal too. So that's all supported for the macro markets. What has been interesting also though, as the stock market's going up, gold has been going up probably from the stimulus and all the money that's being printed. So we are seeing gold go up. I saw some of the big banks are thinking gold to go to 2000 just based on the economy and the amount of money and stimulus that we're talking about, not just the United States, but around the world. Now the European Union's talking about it. 2,000 gold, that certainly could happen. So that's an interesting development on the macro markets. I'm going to throw energy in the global markets now, too, just for this week. And it looks like we're trying to fill the gap on crude oil. We're around $42. If we can get into like the 43, 44 area, that gap's going to be filled. I have a hard time believing we're going to go higher than that. I also have a hard time believing we're going to be going much below 40 also. When the U.S. energy agencies today put out a report basically saying energy demand is going to continue to be low or lower than average between now and well into 2021. There are more stories coming out of the Middle East on how low prices are going to be the reality for a while, and they're going to have to learn how to cope with that. And just with economic activity, even though it's better than what it was in, let's say, March, April, into May, we're reaching a point where, it's probably going to stall out too. There's no reason to get real excited about continued growth. So crude oil, and we would think the energies, will continue to chop around. For the spec traders out there, I don't know, maybe selling straddles or strangles would be an interesting, maybe in the crude oil market would be an interesting strategy, or selling call spreads and put spreads, be a little bit safer. I kind of like those ideas. We may take a look at that on the spec side going forward. I just have a hard time seeing crude trading above the high 40s for any length of time right now. And you get into the 30s, and it's too much. It seems to be too much of a value, especially with the research coming out now. Even and you know when you read the reports of you know there may be possible spikes and maybe have a little bit more of a shutdown in the economy of the United States, it still seems like it's better than it was when it first happened. When you're reading all the stories out of New York and on the West Coast, there is a game plan. If you do have outbreaks, there seems to be more social distancing, and the outbreaks don't seem as intense as they were before because there is a lot of mask and social distancing going on already. So that all seems to be somewhat, that all seems to be a positive in my mind. So let's move on over. So that's the general lay of the land. Last thing on the macro markets, the dollar. I would start to think the dollar really does start to weaken. Now that other nations and other in Europe are going to do stimulus, that's going to allow the dollar now to probably come down because those foreign currencies will weaken. We'll see gold will go up. The United States is printing money too. I would think the dollar eases off. It's not going to go, I don't think the dollar index can go below 90, but I don't see it going above 100. And there's a chance that it can come down into the low 90s. Especially now that we're seeing economic activity come back, we'll see more risk assets leave the dollar and safe assets and flow into more riskier assets. And I don't know, we'll see what happens there. But I think that that'll be the current setup going forward. As far as let's move on over to the grain markets, corn is probably going to be between now and the end of August, making kind of the slow bleed run lower. Dees is about 331 as of the close today. December is about 362. There's a 31 cent difference, Dees versus Dees. I expect that to get wider. The SEP versus March spread that we've been trading, I'm expecting that to really, we broke below the 20-day moving average today. Kind of made a double top over the past couple of weeks. I would expect that to get lower. The reason being is this crop is just about made. I mean, barring and some really crazy August weather or some, I guess, free frost potential, which is, I don't see it. I don't see why we're going to have those kind of things. That's really good. Those are really kind of Hail Mary types of plays here to hoping for that kind of issues with the crop. We're going to have most likely around a trend line yield. Some people say it'll be a little bit less, some people say a little bit more, but there's no reason not to think that we're going to be somewhere between, I don't know, 175, 176, and, you know, 180 on the corn crop. That's plenty of corn. That's like a 2.5 billion to 3 billion carryout, depending on how you're doing the math and accounting for demand. Let's just call it 2.6 right now, 2.7. That's a lot of corn between now and first notice day on the SEP corn contract. I would think we go down another 30 cents. I would think that, you know what? Maybe not 30 cents. Where's September right now? September corn's at 3.23. All right, 20 cents. Corn probably, I can see September going to 3 between now and the end of August. That I can see. And then that would put December in like 3.05, 3.10 range. That makes sense to me as the spreads widen out. Here's what's going to happen as this crop gets made. And I hear mixed results, but the crop's going to be made. What's going to happen is farmers are going to see how much corn they have, start doing the math, and all this on-farm storage. They're not going to be able to store what they have for the remaining of this year and all, you know, from last year and then all of this year's crop. Old crop's going to have to move. It's going to weaken the basis. It's going to drive down the cash price, and it'll get just more intense as we get into August and then certainly the last 2 weeks of August. So barring, you know, it just getting really hot and stop raining in the Midwest for the next 2 to 3 weeks, which is not what the forecasts look like. The forecasts look fine. We're probably going to see continued pressure on the corn market. September making a run towards 3. Dees making a run towards, let's call it 3.10. It is, if I'm a speculator, probably just be riding the momentum lower. If I'm a farmer, you can ride the momentum lower too. Just because you're selling futures doesn't mean you're actually making those cash sales there. You can just try to make the look make 15, 20 cents on the downside here and add that to your final sales price. I think selling calls on the rally makes sense now, too, with December. December 331, we rally up to 335 or 340 again. I'd be selling calls, and you know what? I'd also probably be looking to then sell puts when we get to late August. So, let's say you're a farmer, you're 50% sold. We rally we rally 5 cents, you sell a call, you're collecting money on the call side. If we keep on rallying, in your mind, you got to say to yourself, well, that's 5,000 bushels I'll sell if we keep on rallying. And then if it doesn't, then you eventually just collect that premium. And then in terms of like a buyback strategy, let's say you're 50% sold, we get towards late August, I'd probably be looking to sell puts, on what we've sold. Now, Turner's Take is sold 100% on old crop and 70% on new crop. So I have no problem. Anyone who's that much sold, I have absolutely, one, no problem selling calls on any kind of rallies here on the last bit of corn that you think you'll have as long as you're comfortable you're having it. And two, as a buyback strategy, when we get into late August, early September, selling puts against December corn, I really don't have any problems with either. The reason being, and we'll see. Well, let's see what the yields are first, but how much we come down. But at some point, corn's going to be a buy here, whether it's just buying the futures or whether it's selling puts and if you're an options trader. And this is why. Let's say we're at a trend line yield or right around there. Say we're thinking the ending stocks are 2.5 or 2.6 or 2.7 billion. That's a ton of corn. Futures should go down to 3. It does look like China's going to have to buy corn. Like, there is an issue there. They are really tight. They are at 5-year highs in their corn price. They need to buy grain from the United States. I do not think, for the phase one thing, I do not think China wants to get into tariffs again with the whole coronavirus thing and a lot of companies. I mean, China lost a lot of production from companies to neighboring Asian nations, whether it be Vietnam, even like Cambodia, Thailand, the Philippines, a lot of production went to other places that normally, when you go to the store and you may see something that says made in China, if you start looking, it's going to be, you'll be surprised at how many other countries things are now being made in. That neighbor China, and a lot of that had to do with the impact of the tariffs. I don't think China's going to want to do that. They need corn. Right now they've been buying it from Ukraine, but they're going to probably start buying it from the United States. If I were China, I'd wait. If I could wait until the end of August and September, that would probably be the best time for them to come in and buy in size. They'll get the best deal. China, with soybeans, has proven to be pretty savvy. Same with pork, when they need to buy it and the timing of it, and using the seasonality and harvest pressure in their favor. So the reason why I don't get so bearish on corn, why I have, personally, I've taken that sub $3 off the table, and even if we do go sub $3, I don't think we'll be there for a long time. I think that would be short-lived, and it really is because of that. Also, if prices get that low, corn is gonna get feed demand. With prices, let's say crude is around 45 and corn, it'll be sub 3 cash, and it makes sense. It's going to help with ethanol demand and production. It'll make sense economically to do that. And exports, the United States will be cheap at the export market. And also, the dollar is probably going to weaken here a little bit too. So no one loves $3 corn, especially if you're a producer, right? But at a certain point, there is that old saying, low prices cure old prices, especially when there is some demand out there at those prices. And I think we will see that. It's not going to help corn between now and, let's say, the end of August. So that's 6 weeks. And quite honestly, we could go down 20, 25 cents in 6 weeks. And my play between now and then is to be short or sell on calls or whatever it is, right? Not buy. But there is going to be a time to buy corn, and that is going to probably be at the end of August, kind of mid September. Maybe that's September WASDE. Somewhere in there is usually probably the best time to do it. And then you start to see a seasonal reversal. I do think, though, the whatever rally there does come isn't going to be, not going to $4. We're not going from 3 to 4, but there will be some kind of rally. I also think you can sell options. So you can sell the calls now. You can sell the puts later, 6 weeks from now. You get that post-harvest rally in October. You could probably sell the calls again. There's gonna be some, and I think what's gonna be, whether you're trading options or you're trading futures, where we're selling futures now, covering and buying them back in late August and early September, selling them again or reversing in October. That seasonality, that pattern, it makes sense to me that most likely holds again this year. So that's the way I would add corn, whether I'm a spec trader or I'm a farmer looking to add nickels and dimes to my final sales price. That's how I go about it, granted if that farmer has a futures account. So, soybeans are a little bit better. I think soybeans are going to hang out in this mid to high $8 range. I get some questions about how far is the disparity between soybeans and corn going to get. Because if you look at soybean prices, divide that by corn prices, we're at about a 2.7 ratio. Historically, that's high, soybeans to corn. I think historically we're around 2.3, 2.4 on that ratio. 2.5 is usually seen as high. 2.7 is very high. It doesn't get much higher than 3, meaning that, you know, an example of that would be beans at 9 and corn at 3. That'd be, you know, 9 over 3 is a 3-to-1 ratio. It could happen. I mean, with soybeans, it does look like that crop's getting bigger, but if the weather's a little bit worse in August, that would have more of an impact on the bean crop than the corn crop. And if we're still thinking, you know, China's still buying beans from the United States and they're filling up reserves and also meeting demand, soybean oil and vegetable oil do have a good story right now, even though I always say no one crushes meal for oil. If soybean oil prices do get high enough, that could happen. I doubt it. But, you know, there are some reasons to like soybeans or at least be neutral on it while corn leaks lower. So we could see corn, soybeans to corn get to 3-0, 3-1. If that happens, if soybeans are trading 3 times over corn, you probably have to start selling beans and buying corn at that point too, which may be a pretty good trade at the end of August. But that's something I'd be keeping an eye on. We're at about 2.7. If soybeans are at a 400 carryout, soybeans deserve to be in the high eights, right? They shouldn't be lower than 860 in that situation if the market really believes we're at a 400 carryout on the soybeans with more potential demand that could come on the way. That's the state of the market now. If we did rally up to like 9 or 9.10 or 9.20 in soybeans, I could see selling it and selling calls. If we go to 860, it's probably a buy or you're selling puts. If you're an options trader looking for premium, those are the kind of ranges I'd be looking at for soybeans. As far, I'd kind of stay away from the spreads. I mean, most likely the spreads widen out, but if we do get a real demand story and things start to get tight, then the old crop should be gaining against new crop, or no, should be getting against no. I'd rather be bear spread. If we're going to play the spread game, be bear spread the corn market on the future spreads. As far as wheat is concerned, we had some real issues in Russia. We rallied pretty hard in the wheat last week. We've now come back down, but we've closed above the 200-day moving average. That was a huge deal. Then we came back down. Seasonally, this is a time where wheat can rally. Egypt has come in and bought some wheat. They ended up buying it from the Ukraine, not the United States. Fact of the matter is, United States wheat's still too expensive to be competitive on the export market. So we'll probably chop in the wheat market too. So going between now and let's just say the end of August, we expect soybeans will eventually have some pressure on it as the crop gets made. We'll still get a little bit of a demand and a weather story. Corn looks like a slow bleed lower. Soybean oil is still my favorite story of the grain markets right now. And if we take a look at October bean oil, we're hanging right around the 200-day moving average. If we look at a continuous chart of bean oil, and what's interesting is some of these continuous charts use December as the front month. And if you look at the open interest and volume, I kind of get it. why they do that. And we're still well above the 200-day moving average on the continuous chart when we're basing it off of Dece being the front month on a continuous chart. So the thing with bean oil, I've talked about this before, vegetable oil, we're kind of tight. We're at five-year lows in terms of world stocks for vegetable oil. Palm oil in Asia has been very strong, and that's helping the soybean oil too. And like I've said, no one or most people will not crush soybeans to get oil. They crush soybeans to get meal. The meal can only last 6 to 12 months before it really goes bad. The oil you can store for years. So, you know, you need both to work economically. So, you know, what usually happens is you have the soybean, you crush it, you sell the meal. If it's profitable to get rid of the oil at the same time, they will. If it's not, they store it and they wait until the margins are profitable on soybean oil. Or what sometimes happens is you crush the beans because the profit margins on meal are so good that if you're taking a little loss, you know, on the soybean oil, not a big deal, right? And that's how the math works in a nutshell, a very simplified version of how the math works on the soybean crush. But there's no point right now for anyone to crush beans for oil, not where meal prices are, not where demand is right now. So I still think that oil can go higher. And that's still it's been my favorite story in the grain markets for a month or so here. And it's still my favorite story in the grain markets. Cattle, I still like cattle. I think we could see Dece go to 115 or 120 by the end of the year. But we're up $10 from where we got in. Right? So we liked it at 100. We're about 110 now. That's a pretty big gain. That's 10% in the futures. That's probably it's $4,000 in a one lot. I still like cattle, but, you know, as a trader, you kind of got to ask yourself, you know, sometimes you got to take a profit when you have it. I still like it. If you're trading multiple lots, I'd probably look to lighten up, maybe buy it on the next big setback to add on again. That's what we like to call trading around a position where you have a core position, but if you have multiple lots, you can kind of trade in and out of it. I do like that, but I'm still bullish on cattle and the live cattle. I don't love feeders, but I do like live cattle. I do like the fat cattle. To a lesser degree, I like December hogs. I do like them, and I do think we can rally. It's just that when you look at the supply and demand numbers, there's going to be a lot of pork. There's going to be a lot of supply out there. It'd be nice if China came in and continued to buy more. I don't like pork and lean hogs as much as I like beef and live cattle, but I still see value there in the December contract. Plus, when you figure cattle's run up a lot more and we're still waiting for the hog market to catch up, maybe there is more value there in the longer term in hogs. But that's how we see the market right now. Last one I'll just touch on is sugar. I re-looked at the sugar production. We are still going to build supplies. We're going to be a little bit range bound. We are seeing a little bit more of the stock market recovery and the energy prices. That's all helping, and also the currency differential with the United States. That's all helping sugar right now. The thing is, energy prices are probably going to top out. At some point, the dollar is going to probably come down, and the local currencies that sugar are produced in will probably come up. That's not going to be great for sugar prices. And there is going to be a building of stocks. So I still don't love sugar. Any kind of rallies into the 12s probably deserve to be sold with support coming into the mid-11s. Not a huge trade. Not a huge, it's not like rice going from 12 to 19 or something like that. Or even what ended up happening with bean oil. But it is something to look into, for the swing traders out there. Selling the sugar on the rallies, waiting for it to come down. I can see that. I can see that as a nice strategy. If you're interested in working with me, let me know. I'm happy to talk out these strategies and what we're doing. If you are a client and you want to put some of these to work, give me a call. Shoot me an email. You probably have my cell phone. You can text me too. and I'm happy to go over it with you. If you like this podcast, feel free to send it along and recommend it. You can also go to iTunes and give us a review. That's how people find us. If you're interested in working with me, give me a call, shoot me an email. If you want to check out the newsletter and don't get it, you can text number 33777 with the message Turner in that text and follow the instructions. And you can also go to the website turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. So that is the podcast for the week. We're in the dog days of summer here. And things have been slow, I'll say, you know, even with my trade recs through the texts I send to my client list. But I think that's going to pick up. There are some things starting to develop here as we get into as we come out of summer that I'm a little bit more excited for. So that should be good. And also, I think we're also coming into an environment where it's a little bit more known. It seems like the whole coronavirus thing is getting better with the economy, and that'll be good too, because we haven't even been doing any really spread trading except for that those corn spreads, just because the whole coronavirus thing really kind of changed the whole dynamic of the future spread trading temporarily, but I'm even seeing that coming back now too. So everyone have a great week, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening, and give me a call if you have any questions. Thanks very much.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.